which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ Jesus. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Pious. I also, just before we start, I would like us to just say a quick prayer for Seth and Siri. Siri's dad passed away yesterday, and bow and pray together. Father, we want to thank you that you are God who's been around for a very long time. You have seen the worst and the pain in the history of mankind. But you are a God who keeps your promise. You're faithful and you are committed. Every promises that you promise us. We pray for Siri, pray for their family. We pray for peace. We pray that even in the midst of this dark cloud, that there will be, that they will shine and be a source of hope to those who come and to those who are around them. So we continue to pray for your strength over them and peace in the midst of this sad time, that your name and your glory will manifest. We also pray for those who are not here because of sickness. We pray that you will visit them and comfort them, bring healing and restoration. Even to those of us who are here who are not feeling well, that you will touch us and renew us in a fresh way. Thank you for your word. Speak to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to begin today by just bringing to us the theme and the banner, that we will be focusing on this year, that's being built together. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, it says that in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen? This is not just a cool theme. And every time the Word of God stares at us, it calls for a challenge for us not just to hear, but to live out the Word of God. So this being built together is more than just a theme, but what does it look like, us being built together? How do we live that out? So we look around us, many unity has been one of the biggest emphasis in the book of Ephesians, because we are not just a physical entity, we as a church are also governed by our spiritual identity in Christ. Amen? That when Jueli and others walk together in unity, what's going to happen? What repercussion or ramification will it have on the church when we unite together? What are the implications? What happened when the church walk in our own separate way? What implication will it have on us? What are the ramifications in it? So this is a wonderful challenge, a word of exhortation and affirmation from Paul. And he's saying to the Jews and to the Gentiles, specific to the Gentiles, you guys are also built. We are all built together. And that building, that coming together of the people of God, the remnant of God, is a joy before God. God comes, he says, is the dwelling place of his Spirit. It's a powerful picture. Amen. That's not the sermon today. But I want us to introduce the whole idea behind us being built together, because it'll challenge us on how we walk together, how we work together, how we serve together, how we view and love each other in the love that the Bible commands us to love one another. So that is 2018, as I ask myself, what is my role in the health and the growth of the church? I want you to ask that also. Ask God, what is my part in the health, in the stability, and my contribution to the unity of the church, in order for us to see the blessing and the favor of God, and see God entrusting us with greater spiritual responsibility and privileges through our unity. Amen? So, we'll continue. We're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians. And I know there's a lot of people, a lot of growth group, already beginning with this book. And it's a wonderful study. Before I go in there, I'm just going to bring a couple of things. You know, I love the Word of God. It's challenging because it also requires us not only knowledge for the sake of knowledge and understanding, but also how do I apply these words, these principles that I learn in my own life. So I will just give us three basic steps. You can come back and talk about it later if you ask. So we want to distribute this to all cell group just as a tool and a reminder. Talk about observation, which is what the text say. Every time I read the Bible, it's not just, oh, okay, well, I've read my Bible today. But actually, you know, the relationship that we all have with the Word of God. As it says, what's the big idea? The challenge to read the Bible. Now we want to ask everybody to start reading the book of Ephesians, which is only 6 chapters. Takes about 20 minutes to read the whole book. Cool, yeah? Not 2 weeks. The mood and the atmosphere of the book and summarize our own ideas in our own word. And here, what does the text mean to me? What does it really mean? The question is asked, why? Why is this being said here? Why is Paul writing this book of Ephesians? Yeah? We're talking about interpretation or exegesis and try to pull out what the author wishes to communicate to his readers of these days. It's like you're on the phone and you're listening intensely to the person on the other line to tell you what he wants to say, what he wants to communicate. How does this truth apply to me today? Which is the real goal of Bible studies. When we go through in our home groups or our growth group, the goal is not just to understand, that is wonderful, but also to how do I apply this to me today? What general principle can be drawn out of this? Is there identical, comparable, or situation to which principles may apply today? Yeah, prayerfully consider what does this truth apply in my life? What changes should I make in my life? How do I plan to carry out these changes? And we commit ourselves in prayer. Cool, yeah? And this basic stuff, it's good to have that in our mind. And as we go on in our own daily devotion and our study of God's words, it's good to have these guide steps in understanding God's word. So we're going to go right into the, hold on a second, into the scripture. This is a powerful, powerful passage of Ephesians. Let me just go back. Excuse me. That Paul is writing here to the church in Ephesus. And it seems like that this first chapter is spewing out of his mouth something that he wants to convey. He started off, Paul, an apostle of Christ. Let's take a little bit of background. Oh, let me just say here. The recipients, who's Paul writing to? He began by writing to them, he called them saints, to the faithful, that they are in Christ, who happened to live also in Ephesians, in Ephesus. So originally, you see there, Ephesus is now the capital of Rome, commercial port, headquarters of the cult of goddess Diana or Artemis in the now this is what they say, they also describe her as the god with many breasts, the goddess with many breasts. So you see, Ephesus was not just a Christian environment there. Paul is writing this also to give the church in Ephesus a strong theological and doctrinal teaching in order to build them from the temptation and the influence of syncretism there in Ephesus. There's so many gods there in Ephesus. And Paul's letter to them is to remind them of who they are in God. He reminds them first. So we see the focus of the message, focus on what God did through the historical work of Christ and thus through his Spirit today. New life, which God has given us in Christ, a new society, which God has created through Christ,